along with Grace Church, whereby Christ alone is exalted, worshiping Christ alone and Him crucified. Before we proceed our service, I would like just to welcome you all, brothers and sisters. Let us sing the hymn song, Amazing Grace, How Sweet It Sounds. It's the song that we sing that speaks about the grace of the Lord. We sing it in our local language and English. Psalm number 2, our local language song. And I'll just cross over to 73, which speaks about the same grace, the same song, about the wretchedness, the wretched sinner, drawn to God, the blind eyes opened, and the lost person, the lost sinner, being found. Number 2, Psalm. Jesus, watch over me, reading from the book of Romans, chapter 3, verses 21 up to 31. After reading the English version, Brother Felix Mandrasi will lead in our local dialect, our local language, Chichewa, the same book of Romans, chapter 3, from verse 21. Verse 21. But now The lusciousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the lusciousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, and to all, upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of the Lord, of God. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood to declare His lusciousness for the remission of sins that are past. Through the forbearance of God to declare, I say, at this time, His lusciousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? None. But by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. 29. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one God, which shall justify the circumcision of faith and uncircumcision through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law.
Aloma chapter 3, verse 21. Chirunga mitzilwa, mwachukulupiriyo. Mwakukulupirira Yesu Christu. Verse 21. Komatsopano chirunga chamulungu. Chaoneka chopandala amulo. Chiramulo ndi aneneri, chichitira umboni. Verse 22. Nicho chirunga chamulungu. Chimene chichokera mwachukulupiriyo chamwe Yesu Christu. Kwa onse amene akhulupirira. Le chotetezera mwachukulupiriro cha mwazi wache. Kuti awonetse chilungamo chache. Popeza Mulungu mkulekerera kwache. Anarekerera machimo ochitidwa kale lomwe. Kuti awonetse chilungamo chake mnyengo ya tsopano. Kuti iye akhale olungama ndi wakumuyesa olungama. Iye amene akhulupirira Yesu Kristu. Pamenepo kutsitama kuli kuti kwaletsedwa ndi lamulo lotani la ntchito kodi iye ayi koma ndi lamulo la chikhulupiriro pakuti timuyesa munthu olungama chifukwa cha chikhulupiriro wopanda ntchito za lamulo. Verse 29. Kapena Mulungu ndiye wa Ayuda okhaokha kodi siwa amitundunso ngatitu ndiye Mulungu mmodzi amene adzawayesa amdulidwe olungama ndi chikhulupiriro ndi akusadulidwa mwachikhulupiriro. Verse 31. Potero kodi lamulo kiyesa chabe mwachikhulupiriro msatero ayi koma tikhazikitsa lamulo. Amen.
Amen. Psalm number 73. Nyimbo number 73 ya chisungu yomwe timayimba imene kulankhula za chisomo chabwitsa ivano timba ya chisungu yake.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound.
me. I was so lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. It was there that told my heart to and grace my fears relief. How precious is that grace of peace. They are my faith beneath. So many dangers as nails I have already come. These great I told, he said thus far. And grace will lead me home. When we beyond the thousand years, bright shall the earth's we know this day to see God's grace. And we see. Yes, that's the amazing grace. How sweet the sound. That saved a wretched sinner such as like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Brother Dave Maxwell, pray so that Brother Ken should take off the microphone and start preaching. Brother Tim, take off the microphone. It's your time, so preach it.
Thank you very much. Let's take our Bibles and look together in Hebrews chapter 10 once again. And my text today is taken from verse 3 down to verse 10. And I want to speak about how Christ fulfilled the law. How Christ fulfilled the law. In the first part of this chapter, verses 1 and 2, the last time we compared the law and Christ, and we saw why the law could not render any sinner perfect. Therefore, we saw the necessity for salvation, of Christ coming and fulfilling the law. So here in verse 3 through 10, we see how he fulfilled the law. Speaking of the Old Testament law and the sacrifices, in verse 3 it says, but in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. The law could not put away sin. All it could do was condemn it. So every time a sacrifice was offered, it was a reminder that sin had not been put away. That's why it was necessary to offer those sacrifices continually. And that's why those sacrifices had to continue until Christ came and put an end to them and sin by his own sacrifice. The Lord directed you before this message to read from Romans chapter 3, and that's exactly what you read. There were no sinners justified before God under the law or under those animal sacrifices. Redemption was only in type. In other words, when those animals were slain, it typified the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, but there were none who were redeemed until Christ paid their debt. You read it in Romans 3:25. It says of Christ that God set him forth to be a propitiation. That word propitiation means to turn away his wrath. And then it says, through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness. The propitiation was in the death of Christ. It's the faith, that is, what the faith declares concerning Christ's blood, that is how God justifies sinners.
Shorter is the last one who should be more. She must tell him what you could be. kuma kimene kiri mu imfa ya Ambuye wathu Yesu Kristu chifukwa kuti akhale chotetezera kwa chikhulupiriro cha mwazi wake kuti akaonetse chilungamo chake. Zinthu kuti chikhulupirirocho chiri mu imfa ya Ambuye wathu Yesu Kristu, ndipo imfa ya Ambuye Yesu Kristu ndi imene ili chipulumutso cha munthu wochimwa kukalowa m'malo mwa chilamulo.
Then it says, for the remission of sins that are past. That word remission means the passing over of sins that are past. In other words, the passing over of sins of those in the Old Testament. You may ask, well, if none were justified, none were redeemed, none were propitiated under the Old Testament law, how then did God look upon his elect? How did he look upon Abraham and David and all the others of the Old Testament that were his?
Mwina mkoto karani mafuso. Mwina yeso klangati yeso kwesu ndesho mbolo jantu ojima. Sada mchibangana javari yeso asada wele. Zile tega wangi udadamu Abrahamu kani David kana ntu wangi osa mwina mkoto wachula hamchibangana javari udadamu mbole duwa nao jimozi wa Yesu. Shifata wibene Yesu ama kafama mtanda mkuria wa akalewa
notice in verse 25 it says, through the forbearance of God. In other words, God was forbearing with the sins of those of the Old Testament until Christ came and paid their debt and put an end to their sin. But it's in Christ's sacrifice that that was done. So that's why we read in verse 26, to declare, I say, at this time. When he says at this time, he's talking about since the cross, his righteousness, his justice, in having overlooked, if you will, or been forbearing toward the sin of those of the Old Testament, that now he might be just and the justifier of him which believes in Jesus.
Did you find him in the matter of the city? You may not put out the treasure of Mojajim near where Chovano. I'm a man in the way of Chovano. So when I know the look where I was so Christian, when how many years of Christ have I become to all of us Monga Montu, I never wanted to Warunga Minsa, Wakuru Lukira, Ugaon Bola, Ugajosachimo, Lamont, Wachima, who have been out of San Kagare, Jawizo Sayamba, Sisaya Bige.
So we see that none could have been redeemed or justified or had their sins put away until Christ actually came and put it away. Those of the Old Testament, they had the promise of justification. They had the promise of redemption. They had the promise of propitiation, but they all died in the faith. In other words, died believing that the day would come when Christ, according to God's word, would come and pay their sin debt. They died looking to him.
And once the adalata uzidwa kare, kudali palishiwa mbolo, palikulunga mitzidwa, palikupuru mitzidwa, palikutete zidwa. Kwa mamene amafa, adafa kukulubihira, akuyembekezera kunizimenezo zizoteka kungoti adali mchikhulupiriro chabambuye wathu Yesu Khristu kulibonga mamawu Yesu adzabwera mthupi nadzafa monga munthu kuti masimu awo achotsedwe.
That's why we read in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 39 and 40, it says, and these all, speaking of the Old Testament believers that God purposed to save by His grace, these all, having obtained a good report through faith, in other words, they are examples of those in whom Christ was revealed, but it says, received not the promise. In other words, in their lifetime, they didn't see the fulfillment of it. Verse 40, God having provided some better thing for us, and notice, that they without us should not be made perfect. In other words, justified in one time, one place, one sacrifice, one Savior at the cross.
Ndimona kuti ndipo iwo onse adachitidwa umboni mwachikhulupiriro sanalandirelo njezanolo kulankhula zalonse okhulupirira a mchilungano chakale. Verse 40, popeza Mulungu adatikonzera ife kanthu koposa kuti iwasensedwe amphumphu opanda ife, kutanthauzoti amadikira ifeyo anthu a mchilungano chakale kuti tonse pamodzi tikakhale olungama nthawi imodzi pamene Yesu azikafa pa mtanda.
You see, at the time that the writer to the Hebrews wrote this epistle, there were still sacrifices being offered in Jerusalem. And so the question was being asked, well, if Christ finished the work, why then do these sacrifices continue at the temple?
Kufikira na tsiku limene Yesu Khristu adabva pamtanda pamene kudakhala kukwaniritsidwa ndi kuletsedwa kwa kupereka nsembe. Koma mfundo nkhani yakuti nchifukwa cha nsembe zimaperekedwabe mu nthawi imeneyi.
And so that's why the writer to the Hebrews, you notice to whom it's written, the Hebrews, those were the Jews of the day, warning them not to go back to that temple. God had purposed that temple be destroyed a few years later after this was written. So not to go back there to those sacrifices, but rather to look to Christ alone as God's sacrifice, as the Lamb of God.
Kachisi wawo ndi kuyambira sokapereka nsembe za nyama zambuzi zang'ombe zanyama zosiyanasiyana chifukwa Yesu Khristu ndiye kukwaniritsidwa kwa nsembe zonse.
That's why we read here in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 4, notice, it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. There wasn't one sacrifice in the Old Testament that could take away sin. In the Old Testament, when you read it, particularly the law concerning sacrifices in the book of Exodus and Leviticus, you'll see the word atonement. I'm not sure what word that is in Chichewa, but it means a covering. So those sacrifices could not put away sin, but they were a covering for sin.
Limalankhula za mawu amene amati chophimba kutanthauza kuti nsembe za nyama zimene anthu amapanga zimangokaphimba ngati mpango umene ukhozobisa kungovundikira uchimo, sizimachotseratu uchimo, ayi zimangolivundikira chimolo likhale pomwepo losachotsedwa.
However, when you come to the New Testament, You never see that word used with regard to Christ's sacrifice. Christ's sacrifice was not just a covering for sin, but actually a putting away of sin before a holy God. So complete was his work that those for whom he paid the debt, their sin has been completely and forever put away.
Chifuwa yifa yambe Yesu Kristu na shirika kamozi ndi kuchotera uchimo hose sida pimbe kufundikira uchimo wakulu kareboso hai.
And if you were to ask me, what's the difference between this gospel that I'm preaching for you now that's here revealed in the Bible and what men commonly call the gospel, it's this point. Did Christ actually put away sin, or didn't he? What you hear being preached by people that call themselves Christians today is not the gospel. They preach a Jesus that came and died, and they see his death as a covering, no different than the Old Testament sacrifices, and that it's really man who must now accept that sacrifice in order for God to put away their sin. So it's based upon man and not on Christ. They actually preach a Jesus who died, who was no better than the bulls and the goats, and that his death didn't actually put away sin, because they say he died for everybody, and yet some end up in hell. So they make Christ's death no better than the blood of bulls and goats. Why is it that the blood of bulls and goats could not take away sin? Well, the first reason is because sin is a transgression of God's holiness. You see, for satisfaction before God, it required two things. Perfect obedience to the law, and then death. Shedding of blood unto death.
chimene Mulungu amachifuna choyambirira ndi kumvera kuti munthu amvere chilamulo chonse chachiwiri pakhale imfa womverayo afe kuti anthu apachimwa achotsedwe.
So one part of that you could say, well, their blood was shed, and that's a type and picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, but have you ever seen a goat or a bull that has been able to provide obedience unto a holy God? They can't. They're animals. So, sin being a transgression of God's holiness, those bulls and goats could not answer to that holiness. They're animals. But the second reason here in Hebrews 10 and verse 4 that the blood of bulls and goats could not put away sin is because the blood is not the same blood. It's not from the same kind of person who sinned. You see, it's the blood of animals and not of a human. So we're looking here at how Christ had to fulfill the law, and it had to be done in Him coming in human flesh to represent those sinners that the Father gave Him from eternity. That's why we read over here in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 16 through 18, it says, "For verily He took not on Him the nature of angels." See, there was no redemption that God ordained for fallen angels. But He took on Him the seed of Abraham. In other words, He came according to the seed of Abraham, according to the promise made to Abraham. "Wherefore, in all things it behooved Him," notice, "to be made like unto His brethren, that He might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God." And notice, "to make reconciliation." For whom? For the sins of the people, those that the Father gave Him from eternity.
Wachifunda ndo kurupika mzitu za kwa Mulungu kutapereke divo la zoipa zathu.
So in order for Christ to be that effectual sacrifice, He had to be bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh, but without sin.
Ndichifwajaja kuti sembe ya mbuye wa Yesu Kristu iko nise kukurukira ndi kuzosa tchimo lathu.
And That's why in verse 17 it says he was made like unto his brethren in all things except for without sin. Now verse 18 assures us that he was tempted in all things. In other words, tried and tested just like any one of us is, and yet without sin. He, in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to succor or to help them, to deliver them that are tempted. So getting back to our text here in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 4, we see why it is that the blood of bulls and goats could not take away sin. And we see why it's necessary that Christ should come in the flesh and put away sin. We saw, first of all, that sin is a transgression of God's holy law. No animal can answer to that holiness. But Christ did. In his life, he answered to every aspect of God's law and justice. He worked out that perfect obedience before God the Father that is necessary for the salvation of those that God saves. And secondly, we saw that the blood of bulls and goats cannot answer to the blood of man. In other words, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. An animal's blood can't answer for a man's blood. It takes a man to answer for a man. So that's why it was necessary that Christ come in the flesh, that as a man he work out not only God's law and justice in obedience, but in laying down his life, that God might be just to justify those sinners he came to save. But there's a third reason why the blood of bulls and goats could not take away sin. Is not sin a matter of mind, conscience, and heart? In other words, we're sinners by nature. Animals don't have a conscience. They don't have a mind. They have instinct, but not a conscience and mind, and therefore, nothing about them can relate to who we are as sinners.
I
have two dogs here and a cat at my house that are my pets, and I enjoy having them around, and I'll take care of them, but they can in no way relate to my sin or my concerns or the trials of my soul and mind as I live in this flesh. There's no way they can relate. So this is why it took the Lord Jesus Christ coming, and in Isaiah chapter 53 and verses 10 and 11, it says that he made his soul an offering for sin. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He had to take on him the curse of my sin in order for him to be my Savior and my substitute. That's why today we don't offer animal sacrifices, and we don't look to any other way of justification other than in and by and through the Lord Jesus Christ and his death on behalf of sinners such as we are. Some may ask, well, why then the sacrifices? Well, they were given as a type and a picture, like we saw last time, a blueprint of the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ when he would come and did come and accomplish all that God required. The Old Testament foretold this one who was to come in type and picture and promise. That's why here in Hebrews 10 and verses 5 through 8, the writer to the Hebrews is actually quoting the Old Testament scriptures from Psalm 40, verses 6 through 8. So this gives us a pattern of how we're to read the Old Testament. Everything in the Old Testament looked forward to the Lord Jesus Christ coming and paying the sin debt for the people that God purposed to save. Now we're going to read here these verses 5 through 8 here, but if you were to go back and read in Psalm 40, in verses 6 through 8, you would see it's all the writer does here is quote from Psalm
40:6-8.
You see, the apostles in the first century, the New Testament had not yet been written, so all they had was the Old Testament scriptures. And yet, from those Old Testament scriptures, they ceased not to preach Christ and Him crucified from the Old Testament. This is what's wrong with modern day preaching, because men will go back to the Old Testament to preach up the law, to preach up morality, rules and regulations and all of these things, but that's not what the law is about. According to the pattern of the apostles and what we're reading here, any man that takes the Old Testament scriptures and preaches anything but Christ and Him crucified is a false preacher. The Old Testament scriptures are as much about the Lord Jesus Christ and His death as the New Testament. There's no difference. In the Old Testament, Christ is set forth in type, in picture, in promise, in prophecy, but in the New Testament, He's set forth as the fulfillment of those types and pictures and promises and prophecies. But it's the same Christ. So quoting from Psalm 40 and verse 6, It says here in Hebrews 10:5, wherefore, notice, when he cometh into the world. So already it's foreseen the coming of this Christ, this substitute, this justifier, into the world. So, it says, when he cometh into the world, he saith, here it is, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not. He's talking there about the sacrifices of those bulls and goats. That's not what satisfied God. Then we read, a body hast thou prepared me. This is in the Old Testament now. What body? It's talking about God in the flesh. So what we're saying here is that God would have those sacrifices and offerings continue only for a time, until Christ came. God could never accept any of those sacrifices or any type of obedience under the Old Testament as a term of righteousness. It required that Christ come in the flesh to satisfy God's law and justice and to suffer and die on behalf of the people God gave him. And in verse 6, he continues to quote from Psalm 40. He says, in burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, that is in the Old Testament, thou hast had no pleasure. Burnt offerings and sacrifices could never satisfy God's justice or appease his anger or honor his law or put away sin. There's no pleasure or satisfaction to a picture, in a picture. You might have a picture of bread hanging on a wall, but there's no satisfaction in the picture. That bread cannot nourish a soul. I could take a picture of a beautiful field of maize, and I could show it to you. Imagine if Nasson, instead of, when it's time to eat, saying, what we're going to do is sit here and stare at this beautiful picture of maize. It could be the most beautiful picture ever, but that does not nourish needy, hungry people.
Nijifaja jeji tuzi tuzi ja zintu. Sijimele shiba kulita moyo. Wajitazo. Bakozo kaa munda wa chimanga. Ndeno nazo ni kufino mwone kulea ntawino ya kwana ya kudia. Kia ntipitani kumunda kutaridari mashimanga jeji zina ngo shiwona ni kulitirwa. Mundu sanga kule mwene kubo. Afuna shimanga jeji janisho. Kwasa ni mwene 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 kumundao. Ai.
That's why it took the Lord Jesus Christ coming in the flesh to fulfill all righteousness, and upon completion of his work, God declare righteous, justify those that he represents. So that's why here in verse 7, the writer says, and again, he's just quoting from Psalm 40, "Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me to do thy will, O God." When it says, "In the volume of the book it is written of me," this is Christ speaking, but it's written in the Old Testament. It's in the volume of God's book of decrees from eternity, but it's in the volume of the book of this Bible, of the Scriptures, that it's clearly written that Christ should come to work out the redemption that God purposed for sinners. Then in verse 8 is repeated what was written in verse 5. Whenever there's something repeated in the scripture, it's for our attention. It's to bring home with emphasis again the point. But again, still quoting from Psalm 40, we read here in verse 8, "Above when he said, sacrifice and offering, and burnt offering, and offering for sin, thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law." In other words, they could never satisfy God's holiness and justice.
Jivada mungu mea eji mela kuti ipakunena pamapa apa kuti nsembe nizopereka nisembe zokshereza za mpungu nisa kwa machimu simu na zifuna kapena kukondwela nazo zimele zipelekidwa munga mwala mulo.
You see how complete it is. It includes all the sacrifices of the Old Testament, all the types, all that they were. None of them could satisfy God. It would take the Lord Jesus Christ coming and working out that salvation in order for God to be satisfied. You might ask, well, if they couldn't actually put away sin, why did they even offer him? It's because God commanded it as a type and picture of his Son. In that, God saw a picture of his Son and was satisfied, but he wasn't satisfied until Christ actually came and fulfilled every type.
Come on, Zigwata,
So here's the conclusion then in verse 9. Then said he, this is Christ himself speaking through the Old Testament, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. So in completely fulfilling all that God required for the salvation of his people, we have this assurance that Christ has effectually put away all sacrifices, all offerings, and that the first covenant then is no longer in effect. It's no longer necessary because Christ has established the second when he said to his disciples, this is the new testament in my blood. He's talking about him being the fulfillment of all of the Old Testament scriptures. So let this be a warning to anybody that thinks that somehow they have to go back to that law and provide any kind of obedience to God for satisfaction. It says here, he taketh away the first. It's been fulfilled. It's done. That he may establish the second. What that's saying is, it's Christ's obedience, not ours. It's what he accomplished according to the will of God that is salvation, not ours. When we have the Lord Jesus Christ and his work accomplished on our behalf, we have all that is necessary to salvation. To look anywhere else is a false hope. Trust in anything other than Christ's finished work and his righteousness imputed is a false hope. I'll close by reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30 and 31. We are complete in him. Notice it says, but of him, that is of God, are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God, notice, is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. You have in that one verse everything that is necessary to salvation, and Christ is the fulfillment of it. We sing that hymn, "What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." But the one who wrote that puts the washing away of the blood based upon one's believing. I like to sing that, "What has washed away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." It's done. It's finished. That's why in verse 31, Paul writes that according as it is written, and that's really what we're looking at, what has been written, "He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." That's taken from the Old Testament too, in Jeremiah 9 and verse 23. All of it points to Christ. Well, I'm going to stop there for today. Lord willing, the next time we'll pick up from verse 10 and see how the gospel of redemption is revealed in this one verse, verse 10. It sums it all up. I'll turn it back to you.
God be all the glory and honor because of whatever he directs. Let us open our hymn book songs, song number 83. We'll sing song number 83 in our English songs. So we'll just cross over and sing song number 15 in our Chichewa dialect. Number 83 in English says, "How great thou art, O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the work thy hand hath made. I see this star, I hear the mighty thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior, go to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior, go to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. With through the womb, and for sea grass I wander, and hear the bay sing sweetly in prison. When I look down from lofty mountain ground up, and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, then sings my soul, my Savior, go to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. This is my soul, my Savior, Lord, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. And when I think that God his son was buried, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in. That on the cross, my burden gladly buried, he prayed and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior, go to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior, go to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come, with shout of acclamation, and take me home, why joy shall fill my heart. Then shall I bow in humble adoration, and thou proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior, go to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior, go to thee. How great thou art. How great thou art. Number 15, as she was talking. Vuye wanga, dikalingalira tu, sanchitozo, sezatanjala, nyenye siso,
nyenye siso,
nyenye siso,
ima bimbo
oku, talaba, Simu wanga uimbila nungu, jendo waku lukulutu. Simu wanga uimbila nungu, jendo waku lukulutu. Ugalaku la mabingu okunja pela kuno wode samu mpepo jikawona jikawona
obe ya
lalu mpesi pela muta wale sami kapo. Simu wanga woye pela nungu, jendo waku lukulutu. Simu wanga woye pela nungu, jendo waku lukulutu. Uwala kwa ala kwa wule mele luwa no disenga san chana waka pa wo ningoli la
ningoli
ningoli la
ma waku
swe la buye muna kikete apasi. Simu wanga uyibila nungu, jindu waku lukulutu. Simu wanga uyibila nungu,
Truly, how great thou art, O Father, that you would consider such wretched sinners, such as we are, and purpose to save such as we are through the death of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. May our hearts truly be directed to you in praise and honor and glory after all that we've heard through the reading of the scriptures and through the preaching and even the singing, that it not be just with our lips that we honor you, but from a heart that by your Spirit of grace you have taught. You know those that are yours. There are many who are hearing this message that walk away and wonder what is so important about it. Left to themselves, they'll go back to their vomit. They'll go back to their false ways and religion. But I thank you that there are those that you have purposed to hear. And even through these special meetings, you will cause to hear and to rejoice and continue to separate out each one for whom Christ has paid that debt. I thank you for these dear brethren there in Malawi, for the men that you are raising up to lead the congregations and to declare Christ and set him forth. And I pray for your continued blessing as these gathered continue to meet. May you be their teacher and may you be the director in all things. And for that, I give you the thanks and the praise in our dear Savior's name. Amen.
Amen.